Welcome to Saturdays with Sir Roland, your weekly training guild on how to slay the dragons of vice with the weapons of virtue. Here's your guild master, the author of the Seven Deadly Dragons book series, and faithful knight to the one true light, Sir Roland Paterlot.
Greetings, young squires, maidens, moms, and dads. Today is the 28th day in the 6th month in the year of our Lord 2025, and it's a great day to learn the art of dragon slaying. That sound, young squires, means it's a feast day, and today we celebrate the memorial of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Yesterday we celebrated the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The Heart of Mary and the Heart of Jesus are closely aligned, and both of their hearts are filled with the divine love of God our Father. It is a love that seeks to forgive, a love that seeks to save, a love that seeks to console, a love that seeks peace, virtue, and grace for all of God's precious children. Like Mary and Jesus, God seeks to be with us for all eternity. So today, as we continue our series on dragons and the parables, I thought we would discuss one of the most famous and powerful parables that Jesus told. It's a parable that helps us to understand the perfect heart of the Father that conquers every dragon, and how it is so very easy for our hearts to be deceived by dragons. Today's episode is titled The Loving Father. This parable, which I'm about to read, is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. It's often called the parable of the prodigal son because prodigal means to spend money recklessly or extravagantly, which is what the younger son in the parable does. But the parable actually contains two brothers, seven deadly dragons, and one loving father. As I begin here, let's keep our focus on the heart of the loving Father and how he helps us to conquer every dragon. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them." Okay, let's stop right there, because we've already encountered the first and deadliest of the deadly dragons. The younger son in the parable is asking for his inheritance. Do you know when a son is supposed to receive his inheritance? When his dad dies. So basically, this son is saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead because I want my inheritance now." Could he be any more hurtful to his dad? Notice his selfish language, which gives you a clue to the stench of the red dragon of pride. "Give me my share coming to me." Me, 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 three times, a sign of the anti-holy trinity of the red dragon, where everything revolves around the worship of me, myself, and I. I also see here an extreme greed, asking for what doesn't yet belong to him, and extreme laziness, wanting rewards without the work required to get it. Which brings to mind the green dragon of greed and the yellow dragon of sloth. But notice what the father in the parable does. He actually gives the son his share of the inheritance in a great act of generosity. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but money is not just a piece of paper that grows on trees. The paper in itself has no value. Money represents something, a certain amount of blood, sweat, and tears. If your dad gives you a $10 bill to buy ice cream, it might be free for you, but it's not free. The piece of paper with the 10 on it represents some kind of work that he or someone did to earn it. Let's see what the son does with that gift. A few days later, the son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. Another translation says it's a life of dissipation. Let me translate dissolute or dissipation for you. It means he squandered or wasted all his dad's money on the indigo dragon of gluttony and the violet dragon of lust. He wasted all his father's hard-earned money on the pleasures of the world until he was broke. Ugh. Let's keep going. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" Okay, let's stop again for a minute. Here we have the younger son's first victory. He is realizing his error. He is realizing his father loved him, and he was foolish for thinking his plan of indulging in the pleasures of the world would make him happier than his father's plan for him. He recites his confession, which is key to slaying the red dragon of pride. He humbly decides to go home and confess his sin and beg for a forgiveness that he doesn't deserve. So we continue. He set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. This, my young squires, is a picture-perfect image of what it happens in the sacrament of reconciliation. We, foolish sons and daughters who have fallen for the lies of dragons and wandered away from the Father, come back home to the Father, who's just waiting every day for our return. And when the Father sees us coming, he's filled with compassion and joy and can't wait to forgive us. And he runs to us and embraces us even before we utter the words of confession. The younger son was badly wounded by five of the dragons, pride, sloth, greed, gluttony, and lust, but found healing and reconciling with the Father. But the parable doesn't end there. There are two more dragons and one more son. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you've never given me even a goat, a young goat, that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. The older son here is furious. I mean, like blue dragon of wrath, furious, where he's throwing a temper tantrum and refusing to even come to the party. Why? Because the orange dragon of envy has wounded him badly, and envy often leads to wrath, especially between brothers. He's envious that his brother, the sinner, gets a party. He is sad because his father had mercy on his brother and won't go to the fattened calf party because he's at his own, that's not fair, pity party. The older brother is a hard worker and did stay home and obey his father's commands, but his motivation wasn't out of love, but obligation. He saw himself as a slave, not a son. He didn't really slay sloth. He worked hard at the things of the world, but not at loving his family and what matters most. Then the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. We had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. Again, the father shows mercy to his older son too and pleads with him to come to his senses and come home to celebrate. He pleads with him to slay his dragons that are keeping him from the love of the father. We don't know what the older brother does in the parable, for that is the end of the parable. The question is, what will you do? Are you more tempted to be the younger brother and disobey and waste the gifts God gives you? Or are you more tempted to get angry at and envious towards those sinners who God forgives? Either way, we all need forgiveness. So here's my challenge this week. Examine your conscience with our Dragon Slayer's examination of conscience and see which dragons have wounded you. Then write down those sins, and as a family, go to confession if you're able. Then come home and burn that paper in a fire to show you are forgiven. And then grill out, have some hamburgers or steaks to celebrate, and kill the fattened calf. For whenever we are lost, God always invites us to be found. Parents, I dare you to try it. Maybe even once a month. Just do it as a habit. Read the parable out loud, examine your conscience, go to confession as a family, have a fire, burn those sins, and then eat steak. I bet your kids will be more excited about the sacrament of reconciliation, and they will remember it for the rest of their lives. And until next week, I'll leave you under the protection of St. Michael the Great Archangel, St. Joseph the Terror of Dragons, and Mary, Queen of the Angels, Our Lady of Grace, and the woman whose seed crushed the head of the dragon.
Hey everybody, Sir Topher here. This parable was truly inspiring for me because I have brothers of my own. Three to be exact. And one time, more than once, when I was younger, I got wounded by the same blue dragon of wrath because I was envious of my brother for his nice green tractor. I proceeded to steal that tractor and then throw it at him. Luckily, I have bad aim and God has great mercy on me. The tractor hit a wall, and after the incident, I'd realized I needed to apologize to my brother. I'm grateful for that little story because even though I was wounded, God showed me great mercy to love my brother and to say sorry. And now, I can't wait to spend time with my brothers. They are my closest friends. Roland and I encourage you to love your siblings with forgiveness and kindness. In the Training Guild email this week, I have included a parable worksheet in the Dragon Slayer's Examination of Conscience to help you name your dragons so you can slay your dragons with great love. And until next week, stay holy and slay dragons.